Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Fantastic. So Crara is going just amazing. Just love. Thanks for sending me out there. It's been the best thing that my wife and I ever did. It's just awesome. Just a great, we've got a great venue, a great location right in the middle of the city center. If you imagine you see Accra on a map and you just go right to the middle, put your finger there, that's where our church is based. It's just awesome. Love it. Love what God's doing in the young adults. We've just had our Whitefields conference in Accra. Your bishop was there, Dave Gilpin, we came out for that. Just a great time, just connecting with all our young adults, and our families are coming in, and expatriates. We've got a large expatriate community in Accra. Tons and tons of business people from all around, all the movers and shakers within business and finance and the oil industry and stuff. They're all in Accra. It's amazing. It's a weird, you think, why Ghana? But it's just, it's 30,000 expats in the city of Accra. And just amazing. God's bringing these great people into our lives. Having their lives turn around. People are coming in and they're saying, just, I love being in the house of God. And that was, over and over again, their experience was church was dry. Their concept of God was religious based. It was slow going. It was a process of just endurance for many people. But they're finding, they're actually saying, I'm looking forward to coming to church. They're looking forward to being at Connect Group. They're talking to each other about God. And so the dryness, that's out there, God is just blessing and blessing, And people say, Accra, Ghana's or Africa, they say Africa's so poor and how are you coping? And I just Africa's not poor. It isn't. Africa's wealthy. Africa is not starving. Africa, it's just that they don't know yet the blessing of God that is around about them. Africa is not poor at all. There is some of the richest people I've ever met in my entire life live right in Accra. I've seen more Bentleys and Ferraris and Lamborghinis in Accra than I ever saw in Liverpool. And this is where, football clubs galore here. But Africa's not poor. It's just they don't know yet the degree to which God has blessed them. And my job, my wife, our job has been opening their eyes and saying, look, there's God. He's right there under your nose. And it's so good. And so, yeah, watch this space. We're looking for a new property, a new building. When I get back, we're going to try and twist the arm of a landowner to give us a casino. We're looking to get hold of a casino. It's just an idea of many, but that's my favorite at the minute. It's about maybe, it'll hold about 400 people maybe, and it's just a stepping stone while we get some other things going. But we want to just convert it, rip out all of the other stuff, and take our own word casino. It's got easy win, Chinese casino on the outside. But we're just hoping that God's going to help us just bust that place open. It's on a place called Oxford Street, which is one of the busiest streets in Ghana. It's just in the epicenter of life, and for everybody knows where Oxford Street is. It's got everything there, and so we want Hope City to be there as well. So pray for us. That's what's happening in the next few months. Awesome. So I was thinking, about what to share this morning, and so much stuff I could possibly say, but I was thinking about the dreams that we've got. Just had a dream offering, a few months back. You guys have that here too. Yeah, we had a dream offering, and so we've got a dream. I don't know exactly what your dream is here in Liverpool. Corporately, I know you want to get an awesome venue. Maybe you want to buy this place or get somewhere bigger and but state your claim. You've got a dream, haven't you? And it's time to dare that dream. We talk about battling with faith, but faith isn't the battle. Faith's for the battle, but faith isn't the battle. Faith is easy. Pastor Dave says, faith doesn't sweat. We're not battling in faith. We have faith in the battle. And in the midst of the battle, we have faith that God will give us a victory and God will give us success. And he's given us a glimpse. That's our dream. But our job is to have faith and let God actually do the battling for us and walk in to that destiny that we've got. And so I think we've got a dream. We've got personal dreams. Some of you have got dreams to graduate with honors, first class degree and whatever. What was that bioscience thing, tropical disease biology? I'm thinking, I could probably do a visit with you afterwards for yellow fever, typhoid, malaria, cholera, a few other nasties, I got bitten by a black widow spider about a year ago, and it freaked me out until I realized the males are not venomous. But they don't tell you that, you know, in the handbook. But you've got dreams, you've got desires, you've got stuff. Some of you have got set up your own businesses, you know. Some of you have got, you know, got career plans, you've got family goals, you know. I want to get out this little one-bedroom flat. I want a house that's actually got a roof, and I want a driveway. And you've got dreams, you've got desires, you've got, you know, grandparents are here. You've got desires for your grandkids. You want to see them blessed, you know. You've got, there's every one of us has got dreams. And the thing about dreams is that they're always, the whole thing about a dream is it's out there. And there's a tension between the out there and the right now here. The looking out there, looking to God. Look, because God's out there too. He's there and he's here. And he's beckoning us to the out there. He's beckoning us to the dream. He's saying, come on, I gave you that dream. He said, I gave you, I've given you faith to have it. But there's a tension because it's a dream. It's out there. And I think for many of us, the tension, what do we do with that tension? How do we walk the walk? How do we live our life to actually see that dream fulfilled? How do you keep on believing? How do you do it? And that's what I want to kind of like describe. I feel like this morning I'm going to be a Lancaster bomber. All right, I'm just going to circle at 40,000 feet for a few minutes and just drop some bombs. And, you know, and maybe a few different bombs for each of you, and just to kind of explode some area of doubt about the dream that you've got. You thought, I just don't know if it's going to happen. Well, just wait for the bomb to go off in your world this morning. God say, that dream is secure. That dream is happening. It may be out there, but I'm going to help you walk the walk to bring it nearer. See, in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, it says, God does everything just at the right time and on time, but people can never completely understand what he's doing. God does the right thing at the right time and on time, but we can never completely, we're never totally sure that it's ever going to happen. You know, and there's like this tension within our lives of like, is it gonna happen? Is it gonna happen? And that's what we need faith for. That's why God gives us faith. See, I've found the most difficult waiting room in all life. And I've been in a few waiting rooms, the doctor's waiting room in Ghana, waiting for my typhoid results, thinking like, what am I doing? Isn't typhoid deadly? You know, and you're sitting there and there's like 20 other people and they've got limbs falling off and leprosy and all these, I know, not really. I'm just messing with you now because you've got these stereotypes of what Africa's really like, you know. Limping into the thing. No, I'm sorry. It's quite a modern place. It's got air conditioning and, you know, computers, stuff like that. But yeah, it's like we're in these waiting rooms. It's like, but there's a waiting room in your Christian life also. We all go for these waiting rooms, these periods of the dream and here, and we're like in a waiting room. The waiting room for God is often the hardest of the waiting rooms because we know it's secure. We know it's like, yes, God, I believe you've got that for us. But when? When, God, when? And it's such a difficult time for many, many Christians. And it's partly because we don't understand the process of what happens in the waiting room. But let me just declare right at the beginning that every dream has a delivery date. Every dream has got a delivery date. There is a deliverance for your life that is absolutely coming. It's absolutely guaranteed. It's not a 99%. It's a 100%. Every dream has a delivery date. And it's up to us to keep on believing, even when we're in a waiting room of God, and trusting him every single step of the way. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 3. This has been a verse that I've pondered for maybe 10 years or so, just on and off. God keeps coming back to me, and it says this, but it says faith, you don't say by faith, because practically your whole life now, if you're a Christian, is by faith. You know, forget trying to do it on your own. Your whole life from this point on is by faith. It says, by faith, we understand, everyone say understand, that in the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. What was seen, what is around us, was not made out of what was seen, but it was made out of the invisible. And this is the thing, it's like an incredible paradox here. It's like, by faith, we understand. Now, this is a mad verse because I don't understand how the earth was formed. I don't understand how God just said it and it happened. I don't understand how something is physically alive and real, but yet it's made out of something so invisible and so unseen. And our dreams are part of this, that something so alive, something so real, something that exists In a dimension of God, right now, your dream, signed, secured, and sealed, it's here. The new you, the new job, the new career, the new life, the new baby, it's all here, ready. And it's like, and it takes faith to understand it. You don't understand it, but by faith, you can. You can understand it. The stuff, by faith, we understand what the world can't understand. And I love that. And I think what, for me, the way God's kind of made that come alive to me is that there's, forget the trying to understand. I'm in a nation now, people just trying to get knowledge, trying to get understanding. In Ghana, it's like everyone's got 15 letters after the name. You know, it's like, it's not just John. It's John, Dr. John, PhD, Masters, all over. It's like everyone's trying to get, they've got 2, 3, 4 degrees. I'm the least qualified pastor in the entire nation of Ghana. And now I've got an ordination thing now. I'm like, phew. I'm like, finally, I can pull a card out. It's not a very big one, but okay, you know, we can work on the letters later. But it's like, and I can't believe what I was saying now. Yeah, it's like, so everyone's trying to get understanding. There's a thirst for knowledge. People say knowledge is power, and it's like a mantra. I've got to know, and yet Bible says, no, it's by faith you understand this. You can't figure this thing out. And so the way I've kind of realized is there's a tension now, and it's like, it's what I've realized, it's the reach of faith. It's not an understanding that you can have in your brain. It's now, it's like, here's a dream, and I'm going to reach for it. I'm going to reach for it. And I want you in God right now to determine your heart. I'm going to reach for this. Because as a church, we're going to reach for our new building. As a church, we're going to reach for our breakthrough. We're going to reach for the people of Liverpool. You know, this city, it needs you. This city needs this church to rise up. And you have what it takes. It's your dream. It's a God-given destiny. So reach for it. Don't be scared. Like that voice that's coming. Don't think it's too big a voice. No, this church, their voice will increase and grow and grow. The roar will get louder. Awesome. So I want to help you understand a bit of faith this morning. And what I've come to work out of the states of faith, if you like. How do you keep on believing? What do you do in the waiting room of life, of God's life? And I think the states of faith, you know, like when I talk about states, like water, you know, H2O, it's kind of like it can be ice, it can be liquid, or it can be steam. It can be vapor. It's the same stuff. It's still chemically H2O. But it exists at different states, in different environments, and at different times, and with different things, pressure and heat and whatever, and you get it changes to a different state. But it's still H2O. It's like the match fit that Lisa was talking about. It's the same, we're the same people through the waiting room. It's not like we have to become somebody else. No, be yourself. All right, but there's states of faith. And I want to help you understand the process this morning. The first thing is the dream, all right? The first state of faith is the dream state, when God gives you something. When God, and maybe we could look at Genesis for a second. Just, I'll kind of use, you know, one of the people who went through the waiting room of God the most obviously is Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, and in verse 2 and 3, it says this, is on the screen. Here you go, I'll make you, everyone say make. Man, I've just really kind of suddenly realize what this thing's all about. God makes us, you know, he makes us because we were unmade before God got hold of us. But when you get a dream, know that God's going to start making you. You know, when you start dreaming, know that there's a making, there's a forming process going to happen. The you that will see the dream come to pass is not the you that got the dream in the first place. There's going to be a transformation upon your life. It's normal. It's part of faith. God is going to make you. He says, I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Verse 3. He says, I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So that's the first state of faith. It's a dream state when God gives you a dream. And at 75 years old, God gave you a dream. It's never too late for any of us. It's never too late, Liverpool. You think, oh, how long we've been a church? It's not too late. You're just getting started. God's going to make you into a great nation, a great city of God, all right? So this is the dream state. But this is just the start, because the next state of faith after the dream is the decision. Everyone say decision. Because a dream without a decision to start and actually do something is worthless. Let me take my jacket off. I'm getting a bit hot. It's like the full Monty up here. No. No, that's Dave, isn't it? Yeah. I saw a different side to this man. But Lisa, getting changed in the back of a taxi the other day, ask her about it, honestly. I don't know what's going on there. Not while I was in the car, have you know. It was a girl's taxi. But the taxi driver, he's like blushing in his mirror now. The decision, you've got to decide to act. Verse 4, all right? This is what it says in verse 4. Just straight up there, Genesis 12, verse 4. It says, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. A dream without a decision to act, without you determining in your heart, I am going to reach for this thing. Because faith is a reach. Faith is not a sit there and do nothing. Faith is not a it will come to me. Faith is not a I'll let people come to me. You know, I'll just, no, I'm not going to stay in the harbor. I'm a ship ready to sail. I'm getting out of the harbor. I'm going to set sail, lift up my sails, let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow me onto a voyage of destiny, a place where my life, I'm not called to be in a harbor. Abraham left. He decided, he said, I'm getting out of Dodge. Because God's got a place for me. He's got a place for you, church. He's got somewhere for you to go. He's got a life for you to live. But it starts when you decide to act on the dream. There's always a risk. Abraham had to leave home, leave the comfort, leave the familiarity, leave the, you know, even for me and Karen, there was a sense of leaving England. You know, leave everything that's familiar. It's like, I love my little mission trips I used to do. You know, 2 weeks out, bit of sun. You know, yeah, sure, it's hard work, but you know, you come back, it's like back to Liverpool, you know, Liverpool One just opened. Loved it. It was awesome. Now leave it behind. Leave it behind. Oh God, that's a bit of a stretch. It's a bit of a reach, God. Kind of like, really? No, you've got to decide to act. Without that decision, without that movement in your life, that dream is worthless. All right? You've got to get that in your spirit. It's always a risk. It wasn't just Abraham's dream. It was God's dream deposited within his life. Nextly is this, the next state of faith. Another bomb coming is there's a couple of bombs here. Is that after you've had the dream, after you've made the decision, then there's a delay. Then there's a delay. In fact, there's a few things here. There's the delay, the dilemma, and the dead ends. All right? Just jump forward to Genesis chapter 16 for a second. Verse 1 says this. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. Now you know the rest of the story. All right? See, what happens often for us, and this is the process of our faith, is that God gives you a dream. He gets you to move and gets you to go out there, and it's like, okay, I'm going to reach for this, God. I'm going to start. But then there's a part of the process of faith is the delay. It's the delay. And we often think, oh, it's the devil. We often think that this is just, it's life trying to beat back the dream. No, the dream is secure. Why would God want to stop you having what he gave you in the first place? Now, he's calling you, saying, reach for this. Reach for it. But a process of faith, one of the states of your faith is the delay. And we've got to understand what those delays are. You see, a dream is never fulfilled instantly. But in that time, God wants to grow you. There's a process in that delay where God wants you to move closer to him. See, once he's got you moving, he says, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep believing. Keep stepping forward. Keep trusting me. In fact, it's almost like, now take your eyes off the dream for a second and keep looking at me. Keep looking at me, the dream giver. And so there's a process. 11 years later, Abraham's now 86 years old, still no children. What happened in those 11 years? What was going on? And Abraham's like, nothing's going on. No, God's saying, no, everything's going on. You are getting closer to me. You're walking. Geographically, he's on this journey. He's moving. He's further away from who he used to be. And you've got to figure that out for a second. As you step forward and you reach, you're further away from who you used to be. And you're closer to who God is calling you and making you to be. He's making you. He's forming you. He's changing you. What happened in those 11 years? What happened? You say, oh, just waiting. No, not waiting. Changing. Forming. Making. Orchestrating, maneuvering things in your life, bringing in new relationships as you wait. So those who are not in faith, they slip away. God's not bothered. God's not bothered because you're on a journey of faith. You're going for the reach. So what if those who aren't reaching with you at this time are not with you? what does Paul say? He says, run your race that's marked out for you. Stop worrying about those other people on their reach. You stay on your reach and God will continue to make you and form you. Is this good? It's awesome. Some of you are tempted to doubt, despair. Abraham and Sarai took a little detour, hey? There's Hagar. You know, because in that waiting period, it's like forgetting the fact. They think, oh, nothing's happening, God. Nothing's happening. You try to manufacture the promise, manufacture the dream. And God says, it's not my way. The dream is still out there. Keep reaching, Abraham. So then we come, delays often lead to dilemmas and difficulties. Problems come while you're waiting. Dilemmas lead to difficulties. God lets you get to a point where it can look totally impossible. But don't panic. God lets that happen. He does. God lets you. You know, Karen and I, when we were in Ghana, after about a year and a half, you know, about a year, 12 months, we'd started in a hotel, big hotel. We had 500 or 600 people in our first weekend of ministry. Okay, we hired the hotel. It's awesome, right? And over the next 6 months, 500 or 600 went down to 50 or 60. And it was just like, God, what is going on? And it got to a point where I'm thinking, this is impossible. God, I'm reaching. But God, this is impossible. What is happening? And I've realized, looking back, that no, God was just allowing a few dilemmas, you know, to stretch. You know, what does it say in Isaiah 54? It says, "Stretch wide." It says, sometimes there's a point where God wants you to grasp the scale of the size of this thing. He says, I want you, in the stretch, you'll start to feel and understand how big I want this thing to be. He says, stretch it wide, stretch, keep stretching, keep stretching, keep stretching. Throw open your tent curtains. Lengthen the pegs. In that moment, God, what's he doing? He's making you. He's doing something on the inside of you. So you realize that small thinking, hello? This smallness is not your destiny. God's got something so much better for you. And so in this, oh, there's a problem. This looks impossible. What's God doing? This is where he's stretch. He is stretching your heart. He is stretching your ability to have faith in him. 99 years old. Sarah was 89. Things can look impossible. They said in Genesis 17, verse 17, how can a son be born to a man my age? Worse, all right, at this point here, Genesis chapter 17, God actually changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham literally means father of many nations. Imagine this. Okay, he's going into Tesco. He's Abraham, right? The new guy. He's into Tesco. He's just popped up. And the guy says, hey, what's your name? He says, father of a nation, many nations. And the guy looks at Abraham and says, you got any kids then? He says, not yet. How old are you? 99. Like, how embarrassing. There's Abraham, he's 99, no kids. His name, it's like a problem for him. God's doing this. You see, it's not the devil. God changed his name. Someone's like, Hope City Church, here's a dream for you. I want you to move venue. I want you to get 1,000-seat or auditorium or whatever your vision is. I want you to become a voice in this city. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. You're like, but God, what are you talking about? That's not who I am. That's not. And you're looking around at your life right now instead of reaching for the dream that God's got for you. It's just a problem. It's just a dilemma. No, it's really a test of faith. That's what it is. It's just a test of faith. It's a state that we all have to go through. God will allow dilemmas and problems and things to come into your world so that you will be the person he's got you to be. Now, here we go. Abraham, 100 years old. And finally, Isaac. You know, Isaac means laughter. You know, sarcastic Abraham and Sarah. Like, my goodness, never thought this would happen. You know, I just naming their son, you know, just laughter like this. It's just, you know, it's awesome. They've got a miracle boy and they think it's great. But then comes probably one of the toughest tests of faith that Abraham probably had in his entire life. Then after the problems, after a few dilemmas comes a dead end. Now we're moving from just impossibility to actually death of a dream. And here we have in Genesis chapter 22, just put it up for a second. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Look at that. Look how brazen is that. God tested Abraham. I don't know. What do you feel like right now? Do you feel like as you're reaching, God's testing you? I don't know. Are we capable of understanding right now that God is going to test us? He wants to test us. He has to test us because he's going to make us into a great army of people that are going to break open a city and see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives change. To see the student community in this city completely transformed. To see education led by the church. To see government. You know, the government here. I've lived in Liverpool for a while, you know, at the time. And I've, you know, see, the government's so messed up, the local government here. God wants to break through that poverty mentality. God wants to break through that cynicism, that tough doing life hard. We had it hard, so you've got to have it hard. God wants to remove all that and crown you with incredible beauty, crown you with incredible enthusiasm. He wants to lift this city up, not cast it down. And so God tested Hope City Church.
Oops.
God tested Abraham. So here we have Genesis 22. Abraham, he was asked to give up the dream. Give up the dream child. Felt pretty hopeless. What do you do when you're facing a dead end? What do you do when you looks like the dream that you've got, the dream you felt was God given, just feels like it's about to die. It's like you're driving up the cul-de-sac of life, thinking this can't be right, God. Why is this happening to me? Some people, at that point, some people begin to doubt God's wisdom. And that's not what God wants to do. The test is to actually cling to his wisdom. The test is to cling to God, to go to him further. And I sense some of you right now, this could be a dead-end moment for you right now. It feels like stuff has got out of control. Dead end in your marriage. Maybe even getting married has become a dead end to you. Thought, just no hope any longer. For some of you, it's like dead end in your budget. You know, you're thinking, what is going on? Career maybe has reached a dead end. You look at your friendships or your relationships, you feel like they've reached dead ends, even physical dead ends for some of you. Your health may be falling apart. Come on, it's just a test. All right, God wants to stretch. He wants you to reach again. He wants you to reach again. He's not a cruel God. He's not a carrot to dangle in front of you as you fall over a cliff. No, it's God wants to take you forward, to make you into a bigger and better person. He wants you to have the dream. God, let me say it again. God wants you to have the dream. Every dream has a delivery date. Every dream has a date. There was a fulfillment that God has got for your life. Amen. Instead of doubting God's love and wisdom, let faith get stronger. Instead of doubting, instead of turning away and cursing God, let faith rise up in your heart. Get ready for a miracle, church. Get ready for the delivery date, because that's what happens next. Delivery, deliverance. Chapter 22, verses 10 to 13. This is awesome. I love this. 22, verses 10. It says, then he reached out. See that? He reached. There's a reach. Faith is about it. It's a constant reach. He said he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Next thing here, Abraham looked up and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Every dream has a delivery date. And at that point on, we then see Abraham going strength to strength. We see the nation being born. We see that's the end of the testing for Abraham. That's it. That he's passed the test. And it's like, you know, we go through these seasons when it's like, okay, and God says, right, you've done it. Awesome. And breakthrough comes, and it's like, and God gives you, and he allows that dream to be fulfilled in your life, and it's coming, church, it's coming. They're the six states of faith, as I see them, and I think God wants to encourage you, because let me just give you some things here, what to do while you're in the waiting room of life, okay? Firstly is this, remember what God can do. Remember what God can actually do. The solution may be out of your control, but it's not out of God's. And so, and in that moment when you're in the waiting room thinking, going through these different phases, and all of you are at different phases right now, in the waiting room, sometimes you get focused on what you do and what you can do. And it's like, even like as you're trying to brainstorm, you're like, what can I do? What can I do? What can we do? You know, maybe Dave has actually even said to you around different things, what can we do? What can we do? And the key is not what can we do, what can God do? That's what we should be saying. We should say, what can God do? What, and you'll actually find often, this is what happens to me, sometimes the dream that I had actually gets bigger also. Because suddenly I get off stopping thinking about what I can do. What can we do? What can I do? What can I do? No, what can God do? And suddenly the dream, I realized, was just a start point. It was just a beginning. And like the horizon, as I have stepped and been faithful one more day with God, so the horizon has moved to reveal another stage of the dream. Whoa, this thing's enormous. This thing's getting bigger. Now, doesn't that sound much more like God? Doesn't that sound? Because as you get bigger, so your capacity to take more and understand the vision gets more. Without progressive revelation, the Bible says the people will perish. But when you do have that revelation that keeps growing and changing, God will bless you with that greater capacity to see more of the dream. You know, when I look back and I was age 16 years old and my youth leader said, Andy, God's going to use you to lead the church. It's all he said. It's all he said. But you know, that was all my capacity was at 16 year old. If he'd said, okay, Andy, 19, gonna go to Africa, blah 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 blah. Then you're gonna, you know, you're gonna fail in this relationship. Then you're gonna get married, have a few kids. She's gonna be a Geordie, you know. God had mapped this thing out and said, then in 2010 you're gonna go to Africa, one of the poorest parts of the world. You're gonna live in a real scummy place for a couple of years, you know. Are you gonna do this? I'd be like, God, no. What, are you serious? Are you mental? No, God, it's progressive. It's progressive. And so what happened between me being 60 and me being 37 is a whole lot of making. A whole lot of making. God making and forming and changing and touching my life. You've got to remember what God can do. In Romans 4, verse 17, it says here, well, let's see what it says briefly. I'll kind of bring it to a close now. I have no idea what time it is. Is there a clock in here? No. All right. It says here, as it's written, I've made you a father of many nations. Look at that again. I've made it you. I've made you. You weren't, but I've made it to you, made it to be you. He says, he's our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I love that. What can God do? Well, either God gives life to things that were dead. Come on, either God gives life to things that are dead, or God can create something out of nothing. God will take a dream that has died. He'll either take that thing that you thought was impossible, it was that you were at a dead end. Either he'll take that and he'll resurrect it, or he'll create something out of nothing in your life. That's what he'll do. He'll make you into something. He'll make you into the person he's called you to be. He'll make this church into the voice that it needs to be in this city. He'll make you into the person that can lead tens and hundreds of people. He'll make you into the kind of person that can succeed in your job. He'll make you into the kind of father that will lead his family in prosperity and success and diligence. He'll make you. You'll create something out of nothing, or you'll resurrect the dream. Jesus said this, anything's possible if you got faith. Anything's possible if you reach for it in me. Anything's possible if you don't give up, if you don't walk out of the waiting room and stay there and allow me to make you. It's all possible. What did Abraham put his faith in? Himself? No. His feelings? No, Abraham didn't even put his faith in faith. He put his faith in God. It was in God. Very quickly, you've got to remember what God can do. You've got to rely on what God has promised. Verse 18 of Hebrews 4, Romans 4, it says, when hope was dead within him, Abraham went on hoping in faith, and he relied on the word of God. It's from a different translation, but I love that. He relied on the word of God. You've got to remember what God can do, but you've got to rely on his word. You've got to rely on what he's promised. One of my favorite verses, I've just been kind of like encouraged by Pastor Phil over the last few years to start memorizing scripture again. You know, when I was a kid, I used to do it all the time. I remember getting stamps in a little book, you know, little teddy bear stamps. You know, every time you memorize a scripture, you get a little stamp and you get a prize. And, you know, I think often most of the scriptures I remember are actually from that season of my life. Because I think, I read the NIV, how come all my memory verses are in New King James? It's because it was a period of life when I was learning all these scriptures. I think, wow, I'm 41 years old nearly, and I can remember that stuff and realize the power of it. One of the most amazing verses I remember is that being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will but carried on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. We've got to remember, we've got to rely on God's word, rely on his promises, what he can do and what he has said he will do for us. That's what you do in the waiting room when hope dies. What do you do when hope dies? You do what Abraham did. You went on hoping in faith, believing in God, relying on his word, relying on what he's done before, he'll do it again. If he did that, then surely he can do this. If he said it, I trust it and I believe it. Amen. When you come to a dead end, sit down and get the promises out. Sit down and get out the dream that you've written down. That you've got there. You say, God, this is what you gave me. Speak it out. Declare it. Tell God. Remind him again. It's not that God needs to be reminded, but he wants you to have the process of speaking out your faith. What's in you to come out, to confess it, to declare it, to do it together. You know, as a church, I don't know how often you do this, but you want to, you know, talk about the vision together. It's because what you're united in, God will bless. When you rally together, when you live and work and play and do this stuff called church together, when you unite now and you talk about the vision, you talk about it, God will bless that and he'll bring it to pass in your life. Rely on his word, rely on what he can do, and simply lastly, recognize the facts in faith. Let me finish on this one. Recognize the facts in faith. Romans 4, 19 and 20. Let me read this. It's quite cool. I don't normally want to read right away to the end, but it says here, it says, without weakening in his faith, just amazing, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, he said, yet he did not waver in unbelief. See, here's the last part of the reach that I want to talk about this morning. The last part of the reach of faith is for you as a church, you as an individual, to recognize the facts in faith. Learn how to do this. Because here's the thing, without weakening, this is a different translation, it says without weakening his faith, he faced the fact his body was as good as dead. And he's being so blunt, and he did not waver. Another translation says, through faith, he regarded the facts. Through faith, he regarded the facts. Listen, see, faith doesn't ignore reality. Faith doesn't go around just ignoring, oh, the dream's died. Oh, nothing's happened yet. Faith doesn't ignore reality. Abraham faced the reality, but he faced it with faith. And it makes such a difference. You see, faith doesn't pretend that there's no problem. Faith is not denial. You know, maybe you've got an incurable disease right now. You know, I know my mum and dad are here. My mum has diabetes, you know. Maybe some of you got diabetes. Maybe something wrong with you that's in your body. It's not meant to be there. And maybe in your mind you're thinking, I'm at a bit of a dead end. All right? Now faith does not deny the diagnosis. It just defies the verdict. It doesn't deny that this thing is here. I haven't got diabetes. As I munch on a jam sandwich, send myself into a coma. It doesn't deny the facts of the diagnosis. It just defies the verdict. When the doctors say, you've got no hope, God says, you've got every hope. You've got every hope. You can carry on reaching. You can carry on dreaming. You can carry on claiming that which is yours. Faith does that. Faith holds on. Faith is not living in denial. It's not clinging to the past. But at the same time, faith is not foolish stubbornness either. Some of you, you know, you're 35, 40 years old, and you're still hoping that high school sweetheart is going to invite you out on a date. No. Faith is not stubbornness either. Sometimes it's kind of like, okay, that thing has died. that ship has sailed. But you know, like there's a military statement, you know, when the horse is dead, dismount and find another one. You know, just get up and start again. And, you know, get a new dream, you know. But can you see what faith's about? Faith is not about denying reality. I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. 105 degrees on the thermometer. It's just stupid. That's immature Christianity. No, maturity is being made. Maturity is being formed. Maturity is being in a waiting room and not ducking out the door when someone says there's an easy route to your dream. Maturity is when you say, God, have your way. I'm going to reach for everything you've got for me. Amen. Come on, that's awesome. Why don't you stand with me right now? I think I'm way over time.
Cool, let me finish. I think that the rhema word for some of you right now is to begin to rejoice in expectation. Begin to get happy. Begin to get excited that something good's about to happen. For some of you, the state of faith you're in right now is you're about to come past that dead end. God is about to raise up within your life an incredible breakthrough. Some of you are in the ninth, out of 10, you're at 9.99999, and God's going to say, 10, I'm done. And he's going to bring fruition right now into your life. He's going to drop it, and you want to celebrate now. Faith is thanking God in advance. Faith is saying, God, thank you. Reaching out and taking it. For others of you, you're just beginning. It's just a dream. It's just there. You're at the other end of the spectrum. And God says, okay, get ready for the ride of your life. Get ready for my hand to mold you, for my hand to form you and care for you. There's no better place than being in the hand of God. There's no better place than God saying, it's far better than someone else doing it. And someone else, kind of the world just forming you and shaping you, and not like a pinball machine getting bounced backwards and forwards from pillar to post. No, have the hand of God do that. Let's get out of the rat race of life and put yourself in a destiny of God. Put yourself in a vision. Put yourself in the framework of heaven where he manifests his leadership over your life and forms you and makes you and changes you and brings you into an incredible life. You know, Jesus, when he was at Lazarus' grave, his best friend, he stood outside before he went in. He said, God, I thank you. Thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you. Just thank you. I'm just thanking you. Just an immense expectation. And I think for some of you right now, that's what you need. You need an immense expectation to come over your life. And why don't you close your eyes and lift your hands. If that's you this morning, put your hand up. Put it up high and say, God, let that expectation just come like a truckload of just on top of me. Just flood me right now. That's what you need. You cannot get enough. You cannot get enough of that excitement in God that something good's about to happen. It's the DNA of our church. It's funny that, isn't it? It's funny that that our vision's be a faith-filled church. And so God would want to fill you with so much expectation, so much excitement, so much hope. Come on, God wants to turn your hopeless end into an endless hope that you keep reaching, that you keep pulling out. You keep saying, God, I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. God, I just feel like any moment now, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. Father God, every person with a hand raised, God, come into their life right now. If they've been struggling with doubt, been struggling with despair, struggling with doubt, remove it right now, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Let it be gone. Let them walk out this place on cloud nine, God. Let them walk out this place absolutely filled with faith, filled with an excitement, filled with a courage to keep reaching for you, God. And I pray right now for those people who are at the edge right now. God, do it. For some of you, God, I know it's strategic that you're going to bring breakthrough in life. God, I pray for those people. I think for some of you right now, there's a breakthrough coming that's strategic for the life of this church. That there's some of you, the breakthrough of leadership. Some of you, there's a breakthrough of finance. Some of you, there's a breakthrough, you know, within your careers, with your jobs. And God said, this is going to be strategic. You're going to become a pillar in this place to strengthen. Some of you, it's going to be, there's a leadership anointing going to hit you right now, a courage upon your life to stand up. You'll be such a support to Dave and Lisa. And you're going to, instead of just waiting for stuff to happen, you are going to happen. Instead of waiting for an opportunity, you're the opportunity. You yourself are the opportunity that this city needs. And it's going to come quickly, God says. Reach for it now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. He's amazing.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.